الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا الأمين وعلى آله وأصحابه والذين اتبعوهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. Tonight, inshallah, we will be talking about the last article of faith, the sixth article of faith, and that is to believe in al-qadr. Al-qadr. Al-qadr in English could be translated as the predestiny. Usually when we talk about al-qadr, we talk about al-qadr wal-qadr. Al-qadr being the predestiny, and al-qadr being the decree of Allah. So al-qadr is that what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala predestituted to happen. And al-qadha is when Allah decreed for that which was predestituted to happen to take place in that time. So when Allah made al-qadr for you to be, that was al-qadr. When you were created, that is al-qadha of that qadr. The decree, the establishment of that qadr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِذَا قَضَى أَمْرًا فَإِنَّمَا يَقُولُ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونُ. If Allah decreed a thing, Allah will say to it be, and it will be. When Allah decreed an affair, Allah will say to it be, and it will be. Believing in al-qadr has four levels, or four factors in it. The first factor is the factor of knowledge. We have to believe that Allah knows of everything. And Allah knows those who are good, and Allah knows those who are bad. And His knowledge is comprehensive to everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, وَاللَّهُ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٍ. Allah is knowledgeable about everything. Also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِأَعْلَمَ بِالشَّاكِرِينَ. Isn't that Allah knows about those who are grateful? The answer is yes. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِالظَّالِمِينَ. And Allah knows the most about those who are transgressors. So Allah knows everything. And this knowledge is eternal. It's not that He did not know before and then He acquired this knowledge. The knowledge of Allah is one of His attributes. He did not acquire it just like we know something today that we were ignorant to it yesterday. Allah's knowledge is eternal. It's one of His attributes. And He knows everything. And that what He knew, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put it in writing. And this is the second factor in believing in al-qadr, to believe in al-kitabah. That Allah's knowledge, Allah put it in writing. He wrote the things that He had knowledge of. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَلَمْ تَعْلَمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ إِنَّ ذَلِكَ فِي كِتَابٍ إِنَّ ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Hajj, ayah number 70, don't you know that Allah knows that which is in earth and that which is in the sky? All of that is in the book, and it is easy for Allah. So everything is in the book, documented in book. That is al-lawh al-mahfuz, the preserved book. So the second factor in believing in al-qadr is to believe that Allah wrote that that which he had knowledge of. The third element is to believe in al-Mashi'ah. Al-Mashi'ah refers to the will of Allah. We have to believe that everything that was going to take place, Allah willed it to take place. It's not away from the will of Allah. Because he says in the Quran, وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَنْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. You're never going to have a will unless it is that Allah willed it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَنْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ. You're never going to have any will unless Allah had a will before that. So our will is subordinate to the will of Allah. We can only will or have a will or intend to do a thing because Allah has willed that for us. So everything that exists on this earth is by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the fourth aspect in believing in al-Qadr is to believe in khalq. Al-khalq, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created everything. So, we go into sequence again. Allah knows of everything. Then Allah documented that in the Lawh al-Mahfuz. Allah has the will. And His will domineers everything. And then Allah created the creation. And He created the mountains, the seas. He created the air that we breathe. He created the flowers, the roses, the bees, the snakes, and the rats. And the pigs and the camels. And the cows and the sheep. He created everything. So if we see a bird, Allah knew about that bird. So He knew of everything. Allah wrote about that this bird will exist. That bird existed with the will of Allah. And when that time of the bird came, Allah created that bird and brought it to existence. Allah has created those things that we see, and also Allah has created the things that we do. Our actions are also the creation of Allah. And that is something that many people, sometimes they skip to think about it. Our actions, the things that we do, are also the creation of Allah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, الله خلقكم وما تعملون. الله خلقكم وما تعملون. إذا كانت ما اسم موصول فيكون التقدير الله خلقكم والذي تعملون. وإذا كانت مصدرية إذا كانت تقدير أن ما مصدرية فدخلت على هذا الفعل فيكون الله خلقكم وعملكم فتحول الشيء إلى مصدر. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in this ayah, Allah created you and what you do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created you and He created your actions. So when a person prays, his prayer is creation of Allah. Similar to that, when a person lies, the lie is the creation of Allah. When the son of Adam put things together, whether it's a book, or a computer, or whatever the case may be, that which came out of the human effort is also the creation of Allah. Because Allah created us, and everything we do is also created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Simply because we put it together, that does not make us, we are the one who are creating that matter, independent from the creation of Allah. An example of that, if you go to a mango tree, And the mango is produced from the tree. If you go and you pick that fruit, does that make the tree the creator of the fruit? The answer is no. Similarly, when the son of Adam put things together, that does not make the son of Adam the actual creator of that product. But Allah created us, enabled us, empowered us, give us the ability, give us the mindset, that everything that comes from us is Allah's creation. Whether those things are tangible or those things are not tangible. So the lies are the creation, Allah's creation. The honest speech is Allah's creation. Everything we see is the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So believing in Al-Qadr has those four levels. The first level is Al-Ilm, knowledge. The second level is Al-Kitaba, the writing. The third level, we have to believe in Al-Mashi'ah of Allah, that everything is willed by Allah. And the fourth level, that Allah created everything. That belief is very important because it has implications and benefits for the believer. The first implication in believing in Al-Qadr, that it's connected with believing in Al-Rububiyyah of Allah. Remember when we were talking in Al-Tawheed about Al-Rububiyyah, and we said Al-Rububiyyah has three elements in it. Who can tell me those three elements of Al-Rububiyyah? Tell me. The questions are, in Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, there is three elements that we believe in. What are those three? Create, organize, and plan, creator. Who can help them with the last one? Al-Mulk. Al-Mulk. Yes, the dominion. So, when we believe in Al-Qadr, that is connected to believe in Al-Rububiyyah. Because in Al-Rububiyyah we believe that Allah is the creator of everything. He is the creator of everything. Also, believing in Al-Qadr makes us return to Allah in the times of difficulty. That whatever befalls us is known to Allah. And Allah has it written upon us. That we have to return to Allah, and we ask Allah to deliver us from the calamity. He is the one who has the control over our affairs. And the human beings, just like us, they have no control over the Qadr. Therefore, we should not depend on the human being. We depend on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But always when we say that, for clarification purposes, that does not negate the fact that we have to affect the causes. We have to bring the causes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created for us, and we put them into effect. And we depend on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make those causes fruitful. And the other benefit in believing in Al-Qadr is to attribute bounties to Allah Azza wa Jalla. The bounty that we enjoy, لا يا ولد. The bounty that we live in, we have to make sure that we connect those bounties to Allah Azza wa Jalla. Because it was in al-qadr of Allah for you to receive those bounties. And everything you do is the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, statements such as, I receive so and so because I am a good worker, because I am smart, because I am intelligent. Person who says those statements, he is attributing to the bounty to himself. He is saying, and I got that because I am my own self. I got that because I am good, because I am smart. He is not thinking that he got that because Allah is favoring you Who gave you your intelligence? Who gave you your ability to cognize and to reflect and to calculate? Therefore, a believer should always feel that the bounty in which he lives in, they are from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only. Never feel that you got what you got because you deserve it. Because you are the one who brought it to yourself. When, what's his name? Harun. When Harun was asked about all the wealth that he had, he said, I got it because of my knowledge. He was attributing that to his own self. He said, because I'm knowledgeable. He did not say that is due to the will of, to the bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He attributed that to himself. Whereas the Prophet of Allah, Sulaiman, when the throne of she is the queen of Sheba, Balqis, when it was brought to him, he said, this is a test from Allah. I'm going to be grateful or I'm going to fall into denial. So when we are having all those bounties, we have to make sure that we understand that Allah knew about those bounties. He knew He's going to give us that. And that was written for us. Therefore, we have to do and make the attribution of those bounties to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And another benefit in believing in Al-Qadr of Allah is to deal with the problems with a level of confidence, not to fall into panic, because we know what's befalling us is going to befall us. And it's only Allah that's going to make us be delivered from the calamity. Therefore, in the hadith that we read by Zayd bin Thabit, in Musnad al-Imam Ahmad, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَلَوْ أَنْفَقْتَ مِثْلَ أُحُدٍ ذَهَبًا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ مَا قَبِلَهُ اللَّهُ مِنْكَ حَتَّى تُؤْمِن بِالْقَدَرِ حَتَّى تُؤْمِن بِالْقَدَرِ. ما هو الإيمان في القدر؟ فتعلم أن ما أصابك لم يكن ليخطئك وما أخطأك لم يكن ليصيبك ولو مت على غير هذا لدخلت النار. In this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you spend equivalency of the mountain of Uhud in gold for the sake of Allah, Allah will not accept it from you unless you believe in Al-Qadr. And that is, what is the implication of that belief? For you to be certain and assured that whatever had befallen you, it was not going to miss you. And whatever missed you, it was never going to befall you. If a person dies with other than that, he will enter the hellfire. A practical example of that, many people will be walking down the street, something will fall next to them. And the first thing he says, it could have been me. It could have been me. We say, no, if it was meant to be you, it was going to fall on your head. It's not going to miss you. So do not say, it could have been me. Because if it was intended to be, you are the one, you're not going to escape the destiny of Allah Azza wa Jal. So when a person dealing with the calamities that befall him with this reality, he will have a level of confidence. He will depend on Allah that whatever has befallen him, he was never going to do anything to escape the destiny of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Having went through that rather quickly, we want to discuss issues that are related to al-Iman al-Qadr. First, whatever Allah decreed, la ajid. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created, we the people, the humans, we perceive it as good or we perceive it as bad. We perceive it as good because it agrees with us, it brings good to us. Or we perceive it as bad because it brings harm to us. An example of that, you are driving and you have flat tire. This is the qadar of Allah to have flat tire. Is that bad for you to have flat tire? Yes, you're going to have to go and fix your flat tire and everything. You perceive it as something that you're not going to say, well, I want to have flat tire, because something does not agree with you. But the person who fixed the flat tire, it's good for him, it's business. He's going to be making money off of you. So what you perceive as bad, he perceives it as good. So we have to believe in al-qadr of Allah, all of it, that which is good and that which is bad. But the bad is not attributed to Allah. That what we perceive as bad is not from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which means Allah only destitute things and decree things which are good, as far as the decree of Allah. But as far as how that befall you, it could perceive it you, the human could perceive it as good, or you could perceive it as something which is harmful or bad for you. But as far as the creation of Allah of that thing, as far as Allah's action always good. Because whatever Allah creates, there is a wisdom behind it. Whatever Allah creates, there is a wisdom behind it. Therefore, this wisdom makes the creation of that matter is a good decision. An example that will illuminate this issue. The devil or shaitan, is he good or bad? Bad. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created al shaitan. Is Allah's creation of al shaitan, is it good or bad? Good. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the shaitan, even though the shaitan is bad, but Allah's decision to create the shaitan is good decision. Because there is benefit behind the creation of al-shaytan. There is benefit behind the creation of disbelief. If there was no disbelief, there would be no belief. If there is no disbelief, if there is no shaytan, there will not be the people of al-shaytan. Then if there is not the people of al-shaytan, there will be no confrontation between the people of al-Rahman and the people of al-shaytan. So the evil is not attributed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. An ayah that reflects that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Qur'an, in Surah Al-Rum, ayah number 41. ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر بما كسبت أيدي الناس لِيُذِيقَهُمْ بَعْضَ الَّذِي عَمِلُوا لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. Due to the sins of people, torment is present in land and in the sea. For the people to experience the consequences of their deeds, thus they may return. Look at the formation of this ayah. Due to the sins of the people, torment is present now in land and the sea. Because we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا أَصَابَكُمْ مِنْ مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ. Whatever calamity befall you is because of your own sin. When a calamity befall us, it's not Allah transgressing against us, but it's a calamity because we are doing sin. So Allah is putting over us this calamity. When Allah puts on us this calamity, we perceive it as something bad. We perceive the qadr as something that is bad. But as far as why Allah is doing that, listen to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said is saying. He said, for the people to experience the consequences of their actions. To realize that those sins, they have consequences. And what is the purpose of this realization? For them to return. For them to return to the religion of Allah. For them to return to the true path. For them to repent. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put upon his slave a calamity which the slave perceived as something which is bad, but Allah's decision to put on us this calamity is good, because it will lead us to return to the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similar to that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Sajda, we're going to make them experience the lesser pain before they experience the major pain. If they experience the lesser pain, the pain of this life, hopefully people will reflect and go back to the Book of Allah before they be subjected to the major pain, and that is the pain in the hellfire. وَلِنُذِيقَهُمْ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَدْنَى دُونَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَكْبَرِ. We're going to make them taste and experience the lesser pain before the major pain. So the first issue in believing in al-qada wal-qadr, that to believe that the evil of al-qadr, the bad aspect of al-qadr, is not attributed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Keeping that in mind and remembering that Allah created us and our actions. A person who prays, his prayer is the creation of Allah. Isn't that true? And the person who fornicates, is the fornication the creation of Allah? Zina. Huh? Are you saying Allah creates fornication? Allah creates fornication? Are you confident with your answer?
No.
How about you, Abu Aqil? Did Allah create fornication? SubhanAllah. Did Allah create fornication? Fornication, ya akhwan. Didn't Allah forbid fornication in His book? And then He created?
His will to create.
As according to
His will to register.
Ahsan.
He created the pig. He created the pig.
Yes. Very good. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created all those things that are evil. But Allah's creation is good, but the action is bad. Therefore, we say, and this is a very illuminated statement by Ibn Qayyim. He says, just like the attributes of the human are created by Allah, but they're not attributed to Allah. Allah created him dark. Does that mean Allah is dark? The answer is not. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created his attributes, but the attribute is not attributed to Allah. Another person is a liar. That does not mean this attribute is attributed to Allah Azza wa Jalla. Just like our qualities are not attributed to Allah, even though Allah created those qualities, our actions are not attributed to Allah Azza wa Jalla, even though Allah created those actions. كما أن الصفات لا تضاف إلى الله مع أن الله هو الذي خلقها كذلك أفعال العباد لا تضاف إلى الله مع أن الله سبحانه وتعالى هو الذي خلقها. So this is, we have to understand this point when we believe in al-qadr, that Allah سبحانه وتعالى created everything, but His decision to create, this is al-qada, His decision to create is good, because there is a wisdom behind it. Another issue that we have to deal with when we talk about al-qadr, another issue that we have to deal with when we are talking about al-qadr, is to understand and to refute the arguments of those who use the qadr as an excuse. those who say, well, if Allah wills everything and I did this crime, that means Allah wills the crime for me. So why would I be prosecuted for something that Allah has willed for me? We refute this argument by first saying, Allah's destiny is not known to us. Nobody knows what Allah destituted for you. You do not know what Allah destituted for us to do after 5 minutes or after 10 minutes. But you know exactly what Allah legislated for you. And we live our life to fulfill what Allah legislated for us. But we do not live our life haphazardly. And we say this is what Allah legislated for us, because we ask you, did you know that this is what Allah legislated for you before you did it or after you did it? If he says before I did it, he is a liar, because you do not know the destiny of Allah. If he says I knew that after the fact, we say, why didn't you respond to the rules of Allah, that Allah did not legislate that for you, why didn't you exercise your free will to do what Allah legislated for you? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about al-mushrikeen, anyone with the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about al-mushrikeen, فَيَقُولُ الَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا لَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مَا أَشْرَكْنَا ولا آباؤنا ولا حرمنا من شيء قل هل عندكم من علم فتخرجوه لنا إن تتبعون إلا الظن وإن أنتم إلا تخرصون. The disbelievers, the associated will say, if Allah will, we would not have committed any type of association, neither us or our forefathers, nor we would have built anything that are haram. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to them, this is how you are lying, and people before you have lied until they tasted our punishment. Do you have any certain knowledge about what you are saying so you can bring it forth? Verily, you are only following the assumptions, and you are only foretelling about things. So those people who use the destiny, the qadr, as an excuse, say, do you know that this is what Allah instituted for you? The answer has to be no. He does not know that. Then he is obligated to follow what Allah legislated for that person. So in doing so, we have closed the doors, and those who do sin, and then they say this is what Allah has taken and destituted for us. Also, we say to those people, when they come and they try to earn the pity, they say, if somebody steals, and he say, well, Allah destituted for me to steal, and I have done that, then I should not be committed to any punishment. We say, just like Allah destituted for you to steal, also Allah destituted for you to receive the punishment. This one goes with this one. Do not use the first one and block the second one. Just like Allah, you are accepting that he destituted for you to steal, also Allah destituted for you to receive the punishment. Allah legislated this punishment upon you. So we close the door, and those who use al-qadr as an excuse for them not to align themselves after the truth, not to align themselves after al-haq. Those people who do not believe in al-qadr, they are two groups of people. The first one is al-qadariyah, and the second one is al-jabriyah. Al-qadariyah are the groups of people who negate that Allah knows about your actions. They say Allah does not know about the actions of his slaves until those actions are committed. غلات القدرية يقولون إن الله لا يعلم أفعال العباد ولا يخلق أفعال العباد. ولم يكتبها في اللوح المحفوظ. The one who go very much overboard of Al-Qadariya, they say first, Allah does not know the actions of his people, of the slaves. Nor Allah created those actions, nor those actions were documented in a preserved book in Al-Lawh Al-Mahfuz. Therefore, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about Al-Qadariya, they are the Majus of this Ummah. The Magus, the Majus of this Ummah. He said, لِكُلِّ أُمَّةٍ مَجُوسُ مَجُوسُ أُمَّةٍ الَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ لَا قَدَرٍ. For every nation, there are those people who are maggots, the Majus. And the Majus of my nation are those people who say there is no Qadar. Why that they are like the Majus? Because the Majus, they say there is no two gods. One God created the light, and the other God created the darkness. They say there's two gods. One of them creates good and the other one creates evil. Those people who say there's no qadar, they are saying there's one God who creates things and every person creates his own actions, because they're saying the actions are not the creation of Allah. If they are not the creation of Allah, that means they are the creation of the doer. And so they are not only affirming there's two creators, they are affirming there are as many creators as there are people. Because they are saying every person creates his own action. Those are the ghulat of Al-Qadariya. Those people who are ghulat, they are disbelievers. But those who are not ghulat, they say something which is also great misguidance in Al-Islam. They say Allah knows about the action of the slaves. Allah knows. And Allah has decreed those things, but Allah did not will those things to take place. Allah did not will those things to take place. There is a nice argument that happened by two scholars, or one scholar of Al-Islam, and one person who accepts this teaching. That one scholar, he came, and this person, Al-Qadari, was sitting in a gathering. So this person says, Subhana man tanazzaha an al-fahsha. Glory be to the one who is clear from al-fahsha, from the evil. He is meaning by that Allah does not create evil, does not create the thing. So the scholar of Al-Islam says, glory be to the one that only what he wills takes place. سبحان من لا يوجد بملكه أو لا يوجد شيء إلا بخلقه. أو كما قال. So the other one said, does Allah want to be disobeyed? أيريد الله أن يطفى? Does Allah want to disobey? And the first one, the scholar of Islam, said, أَيُعْفَى اللَّهُ قَهْرًا? Can you disobey Allah against the will of Allah? If you say yes, that means you are more stronger than Allah. If you say yes, that means Allah does not want you to do something and you are forcing your will over His will. He said, أَيُعْفَى رَبُّنَا قَهْرًا? So the first one said, well, what would you say if Allah does not give me guidance and Allah give me in difficulty and I died after that? Did Allah do good or bad for me? So the scholar of Al-Islam, he said, if Allah did not give you something which is yours, is it bad for you? But Allah prefer and give the bounty to whomever he wants. So the one who was arguing, he had nothing to say. Because Allah did not take from us things which are ours. Allah give us, and everything we have is from the bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So those people who say such a statement, that they say Allah knows the action of the people, and Allah destituted the people, but Allah did not will it, their statement is contradictory. Because if Allah did not will that, How did it happen? Against his will? The answer, if they say against his will, that means they are fully in disbelief. If they say according to the will of Allah, that means this is what the people of the Sunnah are saying. So those are Al-Qadariya. Al-Jabriya, they are an opposing sect. They say the people, they have no option in doing their actions. They are mandated to do. So they have no free will to exercise. Everything a person does was mandated upon him and he has no free will to exercise at all. Just like the leaves move in the wind, this is how the human being acts. We have no free will, none whatsoever. This is what Al-Jabriya says. And that's also against Al-Qur'an. Because Al-Qur'an legislated things for us. If we have no option to do that, why would Allah legislate things for us? Why Allah would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, Jazakallah khair? Why would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ? He affirmed for us that we have a will. وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَنْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ. Except with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So those two groups, they are misguided. But the truth is in the middle. The truth is that we the people, we have the free will to exercise, but our free will is not opposing the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nor domineers the will of Allah azza wa jalla. Allah's will domineers our will. And whatever we do is known to Allah azza wa jalla. It's written in our book, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created it. But the evil that what we do is not attributed to Allah azza wa jalla. Because Allah's decision to create that affair is good. Because it's supported by the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another issue that is worth mentioning, a person will say, if Allah knows of everything, that means He knew those who are good and He knew those who are bad. He knows the good and He knows the bad. Then why didn't Allah put those good in paradise and the bad people in the hellfire? What is the purpose of that creation? If Allah knows those who are good and those who are bad. The answer for that is Allah's knowledge is two types. عَلِمُ الْغَيْبِ وَالشَّهَادَةِ. He knows the unseen, He is the knowledgeable about the unseen, and He is the knowledgeable about the seen, al-shahada. The knowledge, Allah's knowledge of al-unseen, Allah's knowledge that pertains to the unseen, does not bring to us reward. Does not bring to us reward. We're not going to be rewarded or punished according to Allah's knowledge to the unseen. Because the people will say, why didn't you test us? Why didn't you, O Allah, put us in the hellfire? If we created us, we will be good. Why did you put us in the hellfire? They will have an argument to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, Allah created the creation and sent to them the messengers to establish the evidence over them. But that what he knew in the unseen, it came to reality. So the people cannot say, we were put in the hellfire without giving the opportunity to demonstrate our goodness. Therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, He said in the Quran, مَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيَذَرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ عَلَى مَا أَنْتُمْ عَلَيْهِ حَتَّى يَمِيدَ الْخَبِيثَ مِنَ الطَّيِّبِ. Allah is not going to let those who are believers upon their own situation until Allah distinguishes those who are good from those who are evil. So this is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us, but He knows about us before He created us, for the evidence to be established, for the evidence to be made clear, so we do not have an argument against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So those issues that I have prepared in dealing with the issue of Al-Qadr. And by finishing that, we have finished talking about the 6 articles of Iman. We talked about believing in the Messenger. Need to make a vow. Believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We believe in His rububiyyah and uluhiyyah and in His asma and al-sifat. We believe that He will be seen in the Day of Judgment, and we believe that He will be seen in Paradise. And then we talk about believing in the angels. We believe in the names of those angels that we know about. We believe that angels, there are angels that we do not know their names. And the angels are created, physical created, they have physicality. They're not imaginary creation. They have physicality, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, they have wings. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw Jibreel, and he had 600 wings. And he was blocking the horizon. Also different angels, they have different duties and obligations. Also we believe in the book of Allah, all those scriptures that were given to humanity, we believe all of them, they came from Allah, and all of them contain the truth. Nevertheless, the Quran is the only preserved revelation from Allah Azza wa Jalla. The previous revelation, they were subjected to interpolation, tampering, and deletion. But the book which is preserved is Al-Quran. And the preservance of Al-Qur'an includes preserving the Qur'an and preserving the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then we talk about believing in the Messenger. All those messengers, some of them we know them by name, and some of them we do not know them by name. Those messengers, they came to deliver a message to humanity. Their message has 2 parts. As far as creed, their message is universal. All of them call the humanity to believe in one deity, to believe in Allah as the only deity worthy of worship. But their code of laws differ from one messenger to another. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the last messenger. His code of law is comprehensive, and his book domineers all books. The Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came as a mercy to humanity. He came as a warner and as a person, as a prophet who give us the glad tidings. And we have to respect him, honor him, believe in him, follow him, be victorious to him, and make him the judge over our affairs. And that is to refer to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the fifth issue was to believe in the year after. To believe that one day every one of us will die. And when we die, we start the life of Al-Barzakh, which is a dimensional. This is dimensional, the life of Al-Barzakh. Whereas the people in the Barzakh, they will experience joy or punishment according to their deeds. And when the Day of Judgment comes, people would regroup, and then people would be maybe making it to the hellfire, and people would be in paradise, and some people would be punished according to their actions, and then they will go to the hellfire. Also, in the Day of Judgment, we believe that we want to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the believers. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bestow this bounty over us. And we believe in al-hawd of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the pool of the Prophet. We believe in al-shafa'ah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And today we were talking about believing in al-qadr. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make those lessons beneficial. And if you have any questions concerning the subject tonight or the previous subject, we can spend a few time, sometimes answering those questions, inshaAllah ta'ala.
Question: what do you tell people who think that they don't need any more knowledge, reference to technologies and the immense depth that was in their knowledge? Does everybody know what we do here? But they say they don't need any more knowledge because then they will be
self-sound
before
they
want
to. Well, let's ask you one question. Well, everybody can enhance and increase his knowledge. The person who says, I do not need any more knowledge, this person is ignorant. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, فَالرَبِّي زِدْنِي عِلْمًا. Prophet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to the Prophet in the Quran, فَالرَبِّي زِدْنِي عِلْمًا. O Allah, increase me in the knowledge. So that should be the goal of every Muslim, to be increased in the knowledge, not to stop and say this is sufficient for me. Because this knowledge is the sustenance of our real living. If that knowledge is stopped, the sustenance of our real living stops with it. Secondly, for those who say we do not want to know, so we are not going to be held accountable for it, we say you're going to be held accountable for it. Because there is difference between a person who does not know and the person who is purposely trying to make himself ignorant. A person who purposely tries to make himself ignorant does not mean he's going to be excused. And that is in our everyday life we experience that. If you go to school and when the teacher is assigning the homework, you go outside purposely. And you come next day and say, I did not hear you. Will he accept that excuse from you? Because he knows you are purposely trying to block yourself from this knowledge. So those people who deal with Allah with that, they have to be careful. Because that could be istihza in a religion. That could be a type of ridiculing the religion. If you pretend you do not know, that does not mean you're going to be escaping the responsibility of that. But if a person sincerely does not know about an issue, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not put upon a soul a burden that cannot take.
The question is about the issue of the punishment of the grave. You know, some of us, we don't have to get this from it. We have to go through the fire first before we go to paradise. Now, is that the same way in the punishment of the grave? I mean, do we get punished for a minute and then we have joy?
Is the punishment of the grave.
Is the punishment of the grave for those people who will eventually go to paradise, inshallah?
The punishment of the grave, according to the deed of the person, a person might start his present life by being punished, and then when his punishment is equivalent to his sin, he might start the punishment of the grave by being enjoyed.
What about the people that say they only want to read Quran? I'm talking about the topic that they say we're going too much in depth. But they say they only have to read Quran and read the product for themselves, and they're saying that they need no shaykh to explain it because Allah gave them the self-intellect to explain it.
Those people are not Salafi.
No.
First of all. Because a person And those people, if they are English-speaking people, they are doing themselves a big mistake. Because when they say we want to read for ourselves, you are depending on the understanding of the translator. The translator is giving you some of his knowledge. Because translation is a function of the translator's understanding. If you read without any shape and without any explanator, you will be receiving developing understanding that is not in coherence with the understanding of the Rashi predecessor. Therefore, we always say, not to those who do not speak Arabic. We say to those who speak Arabic, who can read the Quran in Arabic language and read the Bukhari or Muslim in Arabic language, you cannot read and develop your understanding haphazardly like that. When you develop an understanding, you have to check this understanding. Is it the understanding of our righteous predecessor or not? If it's not their understanding, that means your understanding is not correct. We're not saying a person does not have the right to read and understand. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the mind, to read and understand. But once we get an understanding, we have to take this understanding and check it out. Is it correct? Or are they wrong? Maybe you are missing one word. You are misunderstanding one issue. So therefore, it's very important for us to understand this religion according to the teaching of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he is the one who came with the Quran and with its understanding. Last question, and then we conclude, inshallah.
What about the people that say
Why don't you ask questions always about the people?
Because I was talking to people, these are the answers. But I want to know if the hadith that says that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said the faith from the righteous belief, is that enough for the grounds of the people that they don't have to take a shepherd from the Rasul? Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu.
See, those questions, they are not pertaining exactly to our lesson. So we're going to start an issue that is not connected to our lesson. But it suffices to say that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, just as you will be ba'di, Abu Bakr wa Umar. Follow the examples of those who come after me, Abu Bakr and Umar. وفي هذا القدر الكفايه وهذا وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على محمد وعلى اله وصحبه